spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So God is faithful. One other thing, look over in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And of course the evil most of the time has to do with idolatry, but anyway, he keep you from evil by putting you into the body of Christ, sanctify you. Now last week we talked about, number one was how that everyone that God is able and that God is faithful to save every person that comes to him by Jesus Christ. Remember that? There's nobody. He's able. In Hebrews 7, he says he is able to save them to the uttermost and that come to God by him. He has the power to save. I've heard people talking about, well, I'm too bad to be saved. And there's nobody that's too bad, for the Lord does not save. There's no deadline or no line to cross that of no return. As long as you have breath, as long as you have a mental capacity to know that Christ Jesus our Lord died on a cross for your sins, there's hope. And if you'll trust that, God is faithful and he's able to save you. In other words, your sins is not the problem, and I harp on that so much because people think that it's the sins that people go to hell for, and it's not. It's their unbelief in the sin remedy. And that's all you need to know. So God is able and he's faithful to save everyone that come to him by Jesus Christ. Then he's able to preserve and sanctify those that he saves in the body of Christ in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where we are. Now I want to talk to you and start from there because we just got through them 2 points last week. And I got 6, but we might get 2 this week. I don't know. You know how I am. But anyway, he's able to keep and faithful to keep that you commit unto him. Look in 2 Timothy, and notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He's not only able to save you, and he's faithful to do it. You know, I think about that verse in John 6 where he said, all that the Father give me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. If you ever come to the Lord as a sinner, from your heart, as a sinner, I'm a sinner, I call upon you, I commit my soul unto you, then he's not going to let you, he's going to save you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. For I know whom, not what, whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now what have you committed to the Lord? Have you committed your soul to him? Have you committed your eternal destination to him? Have you committed, turned your life over to him? whatever he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him. Now notice something else about it. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice in verse 5. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 5. That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch it. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, what's it? He's faithful to confirm you unto what? The end. Well, what's the end? The day of our Lord Jesus Christ. To present you blameless, holy, in that day to the God the Father, the body of Christ. Folks, God is faithful and he's able. And if you've trusted him as your personal Savior, there is nothing that can separate you and break his faithfulness. There's nothing that will cause God not to be faithful to his word toward you. God will do everything he said he'll do toward you. And there's nothing you can do about it. He's going to do it whether you like it or not. Now, I've said it many times. I can't go to hell if I wanted to. And I'm going to heaven whether I want to or not. It's not in my hands. It's in his hands. I have turned it over to him. I'm a saved individual. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. He is my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for all of my sins on that cross. I believe that he took my place on that cross. And I believe that God identified me in his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm in Jesus Christ right now, and there's nothing that I can do about it from here on. It's up to him. But I want to tell you, he's faithful, and he's able to do what he said he'll do. And people run around here and they talk about they're losing their this and, oh, got to do this or, oh, we're going to get the wrath of God. Jesus Christ has already bore the wrath of God in your behalf. God already just poured his wrath out on his Son for you. And he's going to confirm you unto the end. And he's going to present you without spot, without blemish, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is faithful to do that. Isn't that wonderful? He's able to keep that which we commit unto him. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Folks, we serve a powerful God. Do you know that? I mean, here we are on a peanut planet. There's our solar systems, millions of them out there, and all of God's vast creation. And we're just one small, like a grain of sand, and all of God's created universe out there. And on beyond that, Solomon said, Lord, the heaven and the heavens of heaven cannot contain you. Where can you go to flee from the presence of our Almighty God? There's nowhere you can go. He fills it all. He's out there. And you think about, here we are on a little small planet, and we're just a little grain of sand in God's created being. And here we are on this small grain of sand of a planet, and here, look at us, how minute we are. We're like an atom on this planet, and here's God the Creator that's concerned about you, and God the Creator that's living in you. Well, what in the world have we got anything to worry about anyway? I mean, what have we got to worry about? People worried, while the Bible said that the men's hearts is going to fail them for fear looking upon the things that's coming upon this earth. And there's some things that's around the corner that's going to come on this earth, and then it's going to be tough. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the worse things is going to be. There's not going to be no utopia. There's not going to be no heaven on earth. There's not going to be none of that stuff. Brother, there's looking for fiery judgment. There's looking for fierce, hard times, perilous times is here. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you better make your calling and election sure and get right with the Lord, because there's a storm a-coming. And you better be in the right boat. I think about where Jesus said there's a man went out there and built his house on sinking sand. And the winds came and the rain descended and the house fell because it wasn't upon a rock. You better be upon the rock, and that rock is Christ, Paul said. And that rock is the foundation that we stand, and it's the gospel of Christ, that He died for our sins and was buried, and God raised Him the third day for our justification. And you better just weather the storm. You better throw the anchors out. Remember Paul on that ship going to Rome, and he's out there. The storm comes, a big storm called Eurocula, and whatever that thing hit that ship, it's flying apart, and that man's going to jump overboard, and old Paul said, except you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. And you know something? They let down four anchors, the Bible said, and they wish for day. Well, I want to tell you, if you don't have the right anchors, you're not going to make it till daylight comes. Weeping endureth for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's a time a coming when the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ is going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's a comfort to know that this world is not my home. It's a comfort to know that someday He's going to deliver me from this present evil world. What about you? I want to tell you, God's faithful. We serve a God like that. We serve our son, 93 million miles. And that's considered close. We can feel the heat off of it. Gives light. God wrapped this little old planet up in a circle of air. And the Bible said he circles the circle of the earth. Wrapped it up to protect it. Anything coming through it to burn up. Caused everything to green. You trees, they put out what we breathe out. They put out what we breathe in, and we put out what they breathe in. All of all, only God could do that. People want to deny the Lord and everything.
Well, he's going to shake her one of these days. He's God. I'm trying to get you to understand something. You have God Almighty. If you trusted in His Son, you have all the power in the universe dwelling in you. And then we worry and fret, and I'm the number one culprit. He's able. Look in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know what that grace is? That's the grace of man. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you will be sufficient in doing what's the work of the Lord. He will provide. He will make all grace abound for you. He'll make your enemies do things for you. He'll make your employer do things for you. Make all grace abound toward you. Look in Psalms chapter 5. Psalms chapter 5. I'm not preaching a prosperity, folks. This is something you ought to grab a hold of. This is not one to feel better about me and all that kind of garbage that you hear out of Houston, Texas. It's not that kind of a thing. Ask that guy about people dying and going to hell, about believing in hell, believing sin, all that. Well, that's not my ministry. Well, he ain't got no ministry. You want to see what he is? Turn over to 2 Corinthians 11 and read. Where's the preachers that preach the book rightly divided and preach the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation? Isn't their souls worth what more than this world? Why is it that people today want to use people for their good and their advantage and to get their money and do everything for them and keep them under bondage? It's not what the Lord called men to do. He called men to preach about His Son. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. If it's not Him, and if it's not the cross, it's not worth preaching. Amen? You go to these mega churches like that and you go in there and preach the gospel of Christ to that crowd and tell them there's none, no good, no, not one, and tell them they're all just a bunch, ain't worth the gunpowder, take a blow them into hell. How long you reckon before they have you ushered out of that crowd? You reckon they'd say, boy, that's good preaching. Get that bomb out of here. They don't want to hear it. They don't even want to endure sound doctrine. Look in Psalm 5. Talking about the grace. You know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. Look what he said in Psalm 5, verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You know something? You're righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't you? And grace is your shield. God's favor toward you. And He'll cause all favor to abound toward you. Isn't that something? Folks, God's on your side. That's the whole thing. God, if God be for us, who can be against us? The world's against you. The devil's against you. The demoniac forces is against you. But you've got a shield. You've got a buckler. You have the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Now, He never said you'd have a rosy time down here. You know, sometimes we get in a mind frame because we're one of God's children and we're saved by God's grace. Nothing's supposed to ever happen to us.
and we're supposed to go through life hunky-dory, never no problems and everything, and have all the money, have everything we need, and no problems with kids, no problems with nothing. I mean, just having a big, good time. No. Why? Because this is not our world. There's a God that's over this world, and He doesn't like you. And the Bible says if we suffer with Him, we're going to reign with Him. You're going to have problems like everybody else has problems. And you might make bad decisions, and your choices that you make will cause heartache and problems in your life just like everybody else. You're not exempt from suffering. You're not exempt from diseases. You're not exempt from all of the problems that face the world, that's in the world. You're in the world, and you're going to get some of those problems. Your tire might go flat on your vehicle, engine might blow up, transmission fall out. My Lord, what's going on here? Why is all this happening to me? I'm serving you, honor. Yeah, but you're driving man's products. My daddy told me one time, you know, he got one of them supposed to be maintenance-free batteries. When it first come out, I remember when I was a boy and he had that thing in there and it went dead. Didn't realize he pry off that thing and there was something. You know, and I remember it just like he out there and, you know, he was fussing a little bit. I was a little fella, I was just looking over at him, you know, couldn't hardly see. He said, you know something? There ain't nothing man makes is maintenance free. Never have forgot that. I mean, if you've got man's, you're breathing all the pollution man has put in the world, and you've eating the chemicals that they put in the preservatives, in the Lord only knows what we goes through our Bible. I'm glad God put it in the Bible. It's not what goeth in the body that defiles the body, but what cometh out. Because it's hard telling what goes in our body. I'm not a favorite. I'm just telling you, you're in the man's world. This is his day. You're in the God of this world. And if you live down here and you eat his food, you drive his vehicles, you wear his clothes, you do all the things of man, you're going to have problems, brother. Don't blame them on the Lord. But he did promise you one thing. My grace is sufficient. I'll make all grace abound towards you. I'll make all favor abound towards you. So we go on. And I don't have time to look. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Grace. Good example. Grace. Everybody wants grace. Look at Genesis 39. Grace is favor. Look at this old Joseph. You know, his brothers threw him in a dungeon or in a pit. They took his coat that his daddy had made, they killed an animal, threw blood all over it, took the coat back, told his daddy. They found this coat out there, and his daddy Jacob said, "Oh, my Lord, a wild beast has eaten him." And so while he was there, Ishmaelites come down through there and they sold old Joseph and they took him down to Egypt. And here he is. You think that he's having a good day? So he gets down there and he gets in a man's house, Potiphar's house, and he's down there. And so one day he makes him the steward of his house. And old Joseph's down there running the farm-like and doing all the things and everything's going smooth. He got over all that. All of a sudden, his master's wife comes in and says,
Hey, lie with me. Oh, no, I ain't going to do that. And finally she kept on, so he runs out of the house and leaves his jacket, and she sets him up. And her husband comes home and said, look at what this Hebrew's done. He tried to force me on and on. And so they throw him in jail down there, and he gets framed, and he's in prison. Down there for a couple years. Well, the guy that's over the prison likes him pretty good. So he gives him some liberties. Then all of a sudden, Pharaoh throws his baker and his wire cupbearer in there. And so they're down there and they have dreams. And Joseph tells them the dreams. And you know what Joseph says to them? When you get back out there, remember me. I didn't do nothing to be in here. Look what he said in verse 20, chapter 39. This is where he gets Joseph's master. Verse 20, took him, put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners was bound. And he was there in the prison. Now, folks, he's having a pretty rough time. He's not exempt, right? But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and here it is, and gave him favor in sight of the keeper of the prison. That keeper showed him grace. And so it eased his pain a little bit. And finally he gets released. And you know the rest of the story. All I'm trying to give you illustrations that, folks, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And whatever the situation is, there's grace. It doesn't matter whether it's financial, whether it's any of it. God is able to make all grace abound to it. You know what you need to do? Trust the Lord. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You know what our problem is? We quit acknowledging the Lord in our life. And we ought to do that. He'll make all grace abound toward us. God is faithful to help you bear every temptation that comes your way. Now notice I didn't say He'd take it away. I said bear it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Don't we serve a good God? And I know a lot of times a lot of you have different problems and situations, and I'm just trying to encourage you today. And this ain't no rocket science message. This is nothing new. But I want you to know that God Almighty is for you. Look what He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Well, let's read verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Now when you get to the place where you think nothing can touch you, you're headed for a fall. When you get so that you think that you're so good that you're not, nothing's going to happen to you, that's pride. And the Bible said pride goeth before the fall. Now look what he said. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. That's what I was talking about a while ago. There's nothing that happens to you that hadn't happened to somebody else. It's something that's common to man. Your problem is not a unique problem. There's somebody else has got the same problems, what he's saying. There is no temptation, no problem, nothing that's affecting you that hadn't affect somebody else down the road. And he said, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He knows your limitation. But will with the temptation also make a way to what? Escape, that ye may be able to what? Take it away? Bear it. You know our problem? We don't never take the way of escape.
And we give in to the temptation so many times, to the trials or the tests or whatever. We give in to it instead of bearing it up and trusting the Lord. God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted above that you're able. But He will make a way of escape so you can bear it. He didn't say He'd take it away. He said you'll bear it. He'll give you the strength. God is faithful to help you. Then He's able and faithful to do more than we can think. Now that's great. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And my voice is about gone. Aren't you glad? No. I'm just picking it. I know you'd rather listen to me preach than anybody else. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm glad you do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we asked or think, according to the power that worketh where? There's power in you. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That verse in verse 20 says there's a power that works in you. And according to that power, He's able to do far exceedingly abundantly more than you can even think about. Now you think about the Creator. Let's look at this passage in the context that it's in. Notice back he said, Paul prays for them. And notice he says in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might, and there's the same word for power, by His Spirit in the inner man. That's where the power's at. It's in the inner man. It's in that new creation, that new man that God created in you. And that new man that God created in you is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's after His image. It's the image that Adam lost in the garden. And you are a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Notice what He said. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him. You know what He's talking about? He's talking about He's able to do exceeding abundantly. Folks, He's talking about the Creator. You know what it means to know verse 18 that may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? Do you know what He's talking about? What did He pray that you could comprehend? Y'all don't know, do you? Now, I'm not putting you down because you don't know. But you really don't know, do you? What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? It goes back to verse 15. Of who the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Look back in verse 10. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church of the manifold wisdom of God.
the breadth, the length, the depth, the height is the universe. It's God's creation in heaven and earth. It's everything that He ever created. And Paul said that you comprehend all of this. He's able to do far more than you can even think about.
There's things out there that you hadn't even ever crossed your mind.
That's how powerful He is. That's a reference to the universe, folks. That's a reference to His vast creation out there.
Notice what He said, according to the power, the Creator dwelling in us. Look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1. A reference, verse 25, to even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, look who Christ is. Look back in chapter verse 18. Let's go back to verse 14. In whom we have redemption, reference to Christ, through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. When He come up out of that tomb, He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the image. He's the spiritual image. And He's the image of God. Mary and Thomas out there, and they walked through them walls. That's God Almighty. Look what He said, for by Him, Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether you can see them or whether you can't, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And there are thrones and dominions and principalities out there that you can't see. They're invisible to you. But they were created for Christ and by Christ. And although Satan and his cohorts and his angels is filling them positions out there, one day Michael's coming down, Revelation chapter 12, and he's going to clean out all that mess out there. We, the body of Christ, is going to feel those positions of authority out there and rule and reign with Him. That's your inheritance. And that's the Creator, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our glory is in eternity. Our glory is out there with Him ruling and reigning. It's not on this earth. Time flies by. Job said, a man's life's like a weaver's shuttle. One point to anotherness. James said, even our lives is even as a vapor. It appeareth and vanishes away. Folks, I still remember just like it was yesterday being a little boy. I'm 57 years old. Just like I came and became your pastor in 75. Look where it's at today, 2009. What is that, 34 years? Gone. Probably will never see another 34 years. No doubt in my mind. But there's eternity. That's where our glory's at. That's where the head's at. And time just goes on. But one day, we're going to meet Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to look at Him. We're going to rule and reign with Him. And I want to tell you something, folks. To have the Creator dwelling in us and have a glory of an inheritance. While you're there in Colossians, look in chapter 3, and my time's gone. Colossians chapter 3, notice and he says in verse 3. Well, let's just read verse 1. I mean, why? You want to just read the whole book? Chapter 3, there's nowhere really. Verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, well, where would that be? When he died. Right? You died with him, didn't you? You're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're to bear his armor. Put on, be strong in the power of his might. Strengthen in the inner man. How do you do that? Paul said in Romans 13, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You take his identity by putting on his armor. You're in Christ. It's the shield of faith, his faith. It's the breastplate of righteousness, his righteousness. It's your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's his good news. Helmet of salvation. It's his salvation. You're to have a knowledge of it. Well, what is it? Well, we died with him. We were put into him. We were baptized into his death. And he was buried. And he arose the third day. And bless your soul, when he died, I died. Don't you understand? He took my identity. I take his identity. I'm on that cross. I'm in that body of believers on the cross. I died when he died. I was buried. And I'm risen with him. And I'm seated in heavenly places right now. Far above all heaven, spiritually speaking. The body of Christ is a spiritual body. And he said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Well, what's above? Well, he is. He ascended far above all heavens. Our Lord is above. Our inheritance is above. We should desire a good inheritance. You know what an inheritance is. Folks, Jesus, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We can have what he's got. And we'll rule and reign with him if we suffer with him. Look what he said. Seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that something? It's hid. You know what all God sees about you? His Son. Isn't that something? All my failures, all my weaknesses. Lord, do you don't find fault with this guy? Can't find no fault in him. What are you talking about, Lord? Well, I don't see no fault in him. I see the righteousness of my Son. He said, set your faith, if you be dead, verse 3, and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in what? Glory is not a place, it's a realm. And it has to do with how bright you shine. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm going to read two passages and let you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is it's about the resurrection. He's talking about the bodies. verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. Well, how do you know? Light? Don't the sun shine brighter than the moon? The moon reflects the sunlight. Folks, I'm just trying to... Glory is a position. It's a realm. It's a shining. You know how what's going to turn? You want to shine bright for the Lord in eternity. You want to have authority. You want to be able to rule and reign with Him. And serve Him for all eternity. You have a reward of the inheritance. And it has to do with glory. One other passage in Romans. Notice in Romans chapter 8, God is able to do more, far more, and He's faithful. If you listen to me, if you'll serve Him, you'll have glory. He'll honor you. Notice what He said in verse 18, chapter 8, verse 18. Let's read back in verse 7. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter what you go through, no matter how much suffering, it's not even worthy to be compared to the glory that God's going to give you in eternity. I said I was going to quit, but just one other passage. If the Lord allows, and He might not allow, but notice what He said. In Romans, 2 Corinthians, we have this because of the glorious gospel of Christ. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure, and this is a treasure, our eternal life, and the new man, the inner man, and the knowledge. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Notice what He says there in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, our old body is just decaying, falling apart, aches and pains, and the older we get, the worse it gets. He said, the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, power. While we look not at the things which are seen, the outward body, but the things which are not seen, the inward man, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's your glory, folks. God is able. Now, if you don't get nothing else, get this. Whatever God promised you as a member of the body of Christ, whatever He said He'd do for you as a member of the body of Christ, He's faithful and able and will perform it. You can take that to the bank. He'll do what He said He'll do. Thank you for being here, and you're at liberty to go.